We have Nicholas Parsons on the line now. Very good morning to you, Nicholas.
Good morning to you, George. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And you sound like you're having a relaxing time in the middle of a busy schedule.
That is exactly what I've done. I've had a very busy schedule for the last 3 months, going all over the country to my different one-man shows and also a lot of broadcasts. And then we managed to get a space of 3 days, and we've been to a health spa, which is very relaxing. You have all the treatments and the massage and so forth, and rejuvenate, you recharge the metaphorical batteries. And now I'm sort of getting ready to rush up to London to do a broadcast. And then I'm coming up to Northumberland to a lovely little place called Annick at the Playhouse Theatre.
Oh, that's it's lovely to see you there, because I'll be there tomorrow. It's at 7:30, I believe.
Yes, that's right. We were up there a few years ago. It was just a minute, and it was a memorable experience, because it's a lovely part of the world, Northumberland. It's so much less crowded than other parts of our beautiful island.
Yeah, yes, we like it that way. So we'll have to stop talking about it on radio.
Oh, right.
Although it's only a small area we're reaching, actually, today. We're actually serving the district of Annick, so we're not too bad. Mm-hmm. But no, it's really great to have you back in Annick. And I must have missed that episode of Just a Minute.
We recorded two programmes up there. Well, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, at least. And as always, it's a lovely theatre, lovely people, and they did well, the show seems to go well wherever we go. Actually, it's an amazing
How long has it been going now?
It's been going for 40 years. We're in the 41st year now.
Amazing.
And I did the original pilot, and I haven't missed a performance since. I've done 888 at the moment, which is quite something.
Wow.
But what I'm doing, of course, this time at the Playhouse is something completely different. I mean, that is comedy, which I normally do, and this is a very humorous, entertaining show. But it's about a most amazing man, Edward Lear. And a lot of people know about him because he wrote lots of wonderful, unbelievable nonsense. He's known for his limericks, which are actually it's the drawings that make them a bit funny. But
yes,
he had this incredible life, and it's amazing how he ever survived. And I believe, and this is what I do in this show, I relate his nonsense, which he called fantastical rhymes without reason, to the rather difficult and arduous life that he had. I mean, he was born into a family of 21 children. He was given away by his mother when he was 4 to his older sister to be looked after. He suffered from asthma and bronchitis, and also was an epileptic. And this epilepsy haunted him all his life, because he couldn't reveal it. Because at those days, in the early part of the 19th century, epilepsy had such a stigma about it. It was considered absolutely strange. Some people thought it was akin to madness.
Sort of possession by demons or such like, yes?
Kept this all to himself. He travelled a lot because of his health, and did these wonderful landscape paintings, which at the time, watercolours weren't fashionable. Oil was what people wanted, oil paintings. And he had to sell them in order to survive. He did get a patron at the time, the 13th Earl of Derby, and which was a saving. But of course, also what is interesting from a historical point of view is that having got this patron at the Knowsley Hall near Liverpool, he would go off and entertain the children in the stately home there and tell them these wonderful nonsense verses and rhymes, and thereby achieved immortality. Because his nonsense was really just a sideline originally in this very busy professional life, trying to make money from his paintings. And this is what he's remembered for. And he did write some of the most incredible nonsense verses ever written. It's so delightful, charming, humorous, entertaining. And I interlace the story of his life with delivery or performance of these different nonsense verses.
Oh, excellent. Would it be true to say that we owe the limerick, really, to his popularising of it?
Oh, certainly we do, but the limerick, when he was using it, wasn't a very funny form of thing. I mean, only recent years a limerick has evolved, whereby the last line becomes a witty or humorous payoff to the first 4 lines.
Yes.
And it's been a wonderful vehicle for more vulgar minds, where the last line becomes a crude or suggestive one. But his limericks themselves not very funny, but he did some wonderful limericks. He did pioneer that form of poetry, if you like, but it was the drawings he put with them that made them more memorable. But it is his nonsense verse, which I believe that's where his creative genius flowed most magnificently, and he's created some of the most memorable nonsense verse ever written, and such a volume of it too. And every nonsense poem has got a different mood, a different feeling, different emphasis,
yes,
and which is what I try to highlight.
Oh, that's fantastic. I suppose the Earl of the Pussycat is one of his more famous ones, I suppose, and that's
what's that?
The Owl and the Pussycat.
Well, The Owl and the Pussycat is the most famous and the one he's most known for. It's very interesting. It's also the first nonsense poem he wrote. Interesting, the first one he wrote was the one that's now remembered by more people than others. But there's others that people do know because I think there's been a resurgence of interest in him. I mean, the schools now do have books of his poetry and more children learn them and hear them. And, I mean, I now recite them to my grandchildren, and which is great fun. And because I wish I'd known them by heart when my own children were small and I could have performed them to them as well.
Yes.
But it's lovely to watch the children's faces when you talk to them, because Lear had this wonderful childlike quality in himself. The children adored him, and he was such a gentle, loving man that he was able, obviously, to enter the world of a child. Because in many ways, you know, small children live a lot of their life in their own created fantasy world, and he entered into this world and created these wonderful fantasies, and which the children adored. But at the same time, the charm and the humour, even the sophistication, if you like, of some of his nonsense verse is such that adults, of course, love it as well. And I just adore it. And I suppose I was talking about it on radio quite recently in a programme on Radio 4 called Great Lives, which I think is coming out this Tuesday or next. And Matthew Parrish, who was interviewing me, said, "Your whole face lights up." Going into one of his poems.
Yes.
And I said, yes, I suppose it has an emotional meaning for me. It's so lovely. And they're humorous, they're fun.
And they're meant to be read out, aren't they?
Correct.
Yeah. They're meant to be performed. It's a bit like Spike Milligan's work in some ways.
Yes.
In that it's always better if you can find someone that'll, like a grandfather, that will perform them for you.
I think that Spike Milligan unconsciously was influenced by Lear, because, I mean, he dealt in a strange, eccentric nonsense. I mean, his goon show, I relate this all at the end, they inherited Lear's mantle in a way.
Yes.
And they created incredible, surreal nonsense in their shows. And they went off in a different direction. But the realm of the surreal is so entertaining. Paul Merton does it in just a minute sometimes. he's so humorously clever. He grabs the subject and suddenly, and the others are quite very sporting and they hold back, because he suddenly goes off and
yes.
talks about living on Mars. Or
that's
something.
Right, yes. Yeah. Mm. I'm a big fan of Just a Minute, because then it's Paul Merton that had me hooked. I was looking at your website, and which you remind people there's a CD of decades of Just a Minute, or the best of, that people can buy. But I was hooked by a Radio 4 promotion tape, in which I think you asked Paul Merton he had Just a Minute on telepathy. And the answer he gave was silence. that really got...
He's got a great creative
yes.
comic mind, and he's a delightful chap as well.
Yes, yeah.
But again, like a lot of lovely comedians, they are also lovely, gentle people in themselves. I mean, not every comedian's the same. I mean, I think to be a comic, to expose that raw side of your nature to the public in order to get people to laugh, you know, you have to be... a little bit different, and some of them are very sad and depressed, but most comics are very gentle, loving human beings, and I've worked with so many over the years, and I think one of the most gentle, loving human beings I've ever come across, but I've only known secondhand, is Edward Lear, and I try to illustrate this great quality he had and the great humour he had, and entertain the audience with the humour by also moving them with the amazing story of his life.
Well, I really look forward to seeing it tomorrow at the Alnwick Playhouse, and I hope the audience will look forward to it too. I'm sure they are, and we'll be talking at trying to promote it as much as we can on Lionheart Radio. So, thank you very much, Nicholas, for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot,
and enjoy the rest of your short break before the hurly burly begins.
Well, the hurly burly begins again.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
All the best, Nicholas.
Great pleasure.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.